Don't let the Z fool you. This isn't a Puck Bunny podcast. It's Game Misconduct with Dory and CT.
Welcome, I guess we could say, to a Stanley Cup winning edition of Game Misconduct. Oh my gosh, I can't believe we just said that. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hi.
We're still having some moments. Like probably you guys are. I woke up this morning, was like, did that happen last night? Did that really just happen? I don't know about you, Dory, but the Tampa Bay Lightning win it in six, just like you predicted.
I did.
A 2-0 shutout, like the first shutout for Vasi in the playoffs. Couldn't have done it any better.
What did Alex Killorn say? Finally.
Yeah, finally.
He was just kidding.
Yeah, no.
Wild.
The Tampa Bay Lightning 2019-2020 team are the Stanley Cup champions in a bubble. We finally have something to celebrate in 2020, Dory.
I know. You know, I thought the commissioner said it really, Gary Bettman said it really well when he had the cup before he presented it to Steven Stamkos. I think it, and I heard Cooper briefly, I think it was Scott Van Pelt he was on, like for 3 minutes after all this. And he said, you know, they said this was probably the most contested and hardest of all. I mean, the Stanley Cup's hard to win to begin with. But the way the circumstances about this one, I think it had to have probably been the hardest. I mean,
yeah,
they left Tampa on July 26th.
Yeah. And think about it. Usually they play starting in late September. They have a week off for the holidays or so. They've got a bye week. They've got the All-Star break. And then they go right into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This year, and players are usually pretty banged up when mm-hmm. they go into the playoffs. This year, they had a break where players could rest and recover. So they were in, I feel like players were in better health, you know, going into the bubble for play. You know, they were away from their families, and we've kind of talked about it. You know, they don't really see their families a lot when they're in the playoffs just because they're so busy and they're focused.
Mm-hmm, traveling. And
it's still, you are away from your family. You can't just go into the next room and see your wife or your right. child. So you're away from your family. They can't even be there with you to really celebrate or watch you play. Although we did see some parents that were Canadian that were in the bubble. Mm-hmm. They were able to be in the bubble, like Alex Killorn's dad. I saw Matthew Joseph's family there. So there was some family in there, not just Corey Perry's wife. And, you know, so it was a very different feel, mm-hmm. And not being there. You know, when we talked to Mike Poirier, you know, all the extra planning they had to do for the supplies they would need and moving in and out of locker rooms, and they may not have been traveling, but there was still a lot of logistics that they've never been through. So right. bravo to the league for getting this done. Bravo to all the staff of the Tampa Bay Lightning for getting this together. Mm-hmm. The coaches, the trainers, the equipment guys, everybody was amazing. So yeah, I thought that was really nice. They, instead of presenting the trophy to one guy and then having a team photo, they said the Lightning asked to do it a little differently. So they asked everybody to gather around the cup, and then Gary Bettman presented it to Steven Stamkos, which I thought was very classy. Mm-hmm. I expect nothing less out of this organization. So that was a moment. And Victor Hedman getting the Conn Smythe. And apparently it was the closest voting ever.
It would have been, if Braden Point would have won, I would have been like, yep. If Hedman won, you know, I was like,
can we give out two? Can there be a tie?
You can even look at, I mean, you wouldn't, but you could even maybe make not a strong an argument, but you could put Kucherov up on that list. He had 20 something assists.
Absolutely.
And he's like in the top five or something crazy. It's like Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and then like Kucherov.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
wild. When I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, Kucherov.
Yeah.
By the way, you and I, it's not nasty. It's not mean spirited, but you and I text a lot about Kucherov and his very Russian like demeanor.
Yes.
We'll just leave it at that. He's very, you know,
he's intense. In fact, he's very
that
intense.
Dude let loose and went wild last night. And it brings me so much joy.
I've never seen him smile so much. And thank goodness for social media. And I don't say that often, but thank goodness for social media. If you follow any of the players on Instagram, watch their Instagram stories before they go away. They were posting video of them in the locker room. Pat Maroon was a beauty of an Instagram story. You need to go watch it. Like, it's so great. Like, and you know, there's some photos of Kucherov just grinning from ear to ear. Like, I'm like, who is this person?
I know.
And there was one moment on the broadcast when it went to NBCSN and they were still skating around with the cup and everything, where Kucherov, I think he was holding the cup maybe, or he was doing something, and he skated away and he just kind of shook his head. Like, he was still kind of trying to wrap his head around it. And that guy beats up on himself more than anybody else does. And so you've got to think of what, for a lot of those guys on that team who have been there for a long time, I mean, they've been knocking on the door for about 5 years and they just couldn't get it done. And so you've got to just think of the relief that they're experiencing last night and today. And it's just, I was ugly crying. Like, I kept,
you were bawling.
I was sobbing. You were uncontrollably sobbing. My best friend called me right after they won. And she's like, she's going to hyperventilate. And I was like, that's why I have a paper bag here. Yes. It was just, and I kept hearing in my head that line from League of Their Own, there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in hockey, but
there's always crying in hockey.
I was so happy. It wasn't even about me. I was just so happy for this group of guys. And like the story of Pat Maroon, back-to-back winner, one of three who wins consecutively back-to-back. Zach Bogosian, think of how he was just kind of discounted from the league. And our guys saw something in him, brought him in, and now he's on the Stanley Cup. You know, all the stuff that this team went through, getting so close in 2015, and so many other years. And then last year being swept in the playoffs in four games in the first round after being the President's Trophy winners, you know, Victor Hedman, all the awards, and Julien Brisebois' first full year as the GM. Like, it just so many great storylines. And it just, I was just all up in my feelings last night, and I cried myself to sleep, and I just was so happy. And I saw part of the beginning of Rick Bonus's press conference after the game. And he started out by saying, you know, congratulations to this team. They are made, like, just so classy, so classy. And you could see it in the handshake line.
Yeah.
Like the bond.
A lot of hugs.
A lot of hugs for Rick Bonus from the Tampa Bay Lightning players. I mean, you know, it's gotta be hard, but you know, just, he was with them for 5 years, and you know, you've got to think, yes, he's upset that his team didn't win and he didn't win. But, you know, when you're, and I can only assume, but if you're a coach for a team and you're a player guy like Rick Bonus is, you have relationships with players.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought it was just classy all around.
Not necessarily, you know, happy the Lightning, you know, maybe he wanted his team to win, but I think he was very happy the Johnsons and Palats and the Stamkos and the Hedman and all, that those guys finally.
I'm going to tear up again, Dory. Start talking. I can't talk.
And I just had a feeling. Like, I just have a feeling it's going to happen. And I'm telling you, the moment it sealed, it was when I texted you that I finally, you guys, after how many times watching that damn Lexus commercial with the little kid, no offense to the little kid, but how many times I've complained about that commercial because I have no idea what that kid is saying. It hit me like I think it was during the first intermission, and it hit me what the kid is saying. And I have to pull it up because I don't remember now. It was one of those moments where, I texted CT. I said, after all these games, I finally know what the little Lexus kid is saying. Quote, I'm going to play outside. Then his mom starts and he says, be back before dark. I know. And all of a sudden it was clear. It was like an epiphany. And I texted, I said, that's it. It's a sign. After all these games of watching this thing 20 times a game, finally it hit me. But no, honestly, in all seriousness, it was maybe it's really hard to disagree. That may have been the greatest performance from this team.
Really? Because I thought it was a little shaky in the beginning, and I was like, oh God, please don't do this to
me.
Please don't do this.
But
to
I think
me.
Doubt that's both ways. I think the nerves were getting to both, you know. I mean, it was a short-lived thing, but
yeah, I was like, they're gripping their sticks too much, they're trying too hard, they're thinking too much, they gotta just calm down. And then something happened where they just calm down, and the next thing you know, they score.
Braden Point, man. That was a beauty, that thing was.
I was seeing a lot of tweets from men asking for Braden Point to have their babies.
So. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Yeah, it was absolutely, I mean, there was just so many, it was just play after play.
So then we have to kill off a penalty at the end of the game. Okay. And I'm not sure if it was in or out after the, I think it was after the penalty was killed, because I started watching again. Cause anytime there's a penalty, I cover my face with a blanket. It seems to work.
The McDonough tripping penalty?
Yes, it was that one. I covered my face for while they were killing it off, and then I watched once it was killed off. And when I saw three of our players hit the ice at the same time to block a shot, I was like, that's it, we're done. And that's when I started to lose my mind and start crying. I think it was like a minute 38 left. I was just a mess.
as much as they did look a little shaky, you know, gosh, Dallas is a damn good team.
They are.
I will say this, and if we want to argue, like, well, the greatest maybe over, you know, total performance, Vassy, whatever. Hands down, that was the best defensive effort the Tampa Bay Lightning have ever had.
Yeah.
In history. That is the hill I will die on. It was every single one of them. It was forwards playing defensively. It was just like
the goaltender playing defensively, because he was coming out a lot more
or something
to retrieve the puck and to get it up to their forwards. So, you know, every time I'm yelling at him, get in the net. But he was helping, you know, clear that puck out of our zone, you know, because if they don't have it in our zone, they have less opportunity to score. So I thought everything was clicking.
The board line.
Oh my gosh.
Get out of here. And that line was incredible. Incredible, all three of them.
Let's talk about, so they were at 12-6, they brought Bogosian back in, Jan Ruta sat, and we had a kid, Volkov, who'd only played 9 games, and we're like, who is this kid?
I legit was like, who is this?
I'm like, who is
who
this
TF
kid?
Is this?
Yeah.
Because I don't know who this kid is.
But he played great.
He played great. Not a lot of minutes, but no. I mean, he didn't, you know, it was fine. You didn't really notice him, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It was like 9 minutes, so.
Yeah. And at the end of the game on the broadcast, they were talking about how, you know, if you don't play a game in the final, you don't necessarily get your name on the cup. I don't know what the criteria is. So, like, Matthew Joseph didn't play a game. He was in the bubble the whole time. There are a lot of players that were in the bubble with them that may or may not get their name on the cup. And one of the guys
– I think I read – and it was on Twitter, so take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But I think I read something about, like, if you did not play in the Stanley Cup, but, like, you know, because guys get injured.
Yeah.
Like Steven Sam, you know, and you might be right, but I thought I saw if you played at least 41 games.
There's some kind of criteria, but one of the guys on the broadcast was saying, if you were a player and you were in that bubble, your name should be on the cup, unlike any other year. And I agree with them. You know, because, and this is such a tight group, and you know, with the 2004 team, they're still so tight. And they always say, like, when you win something like this, you walk together forever. I just see that with this team. And as the series, like not just this series, but the entire playoffs went on, you could just see how tight they were. And I'm so happy. I'm like a proud mama, you know, like.
I'm really trying to think about this. Did Matthew Joseph not play at all during the postseason?
I don't believe he.
Because I think
he might have played during an exhibition game, but I'm not positive.
Ooh. See, because I think it's if you play in the postseason.
Yeah. But this year is so different. So I'm kind of hoping they make an exception and every player that was in the bubble for a team, whether they played or not, I think they deserve to be on the cup. It's just me, but who knows? I don't make the decisions here. So let's talk about some
it's
of the
interesting. I don't know. It's confusing. I know Braden Coburn, you know, had been handed him the cup, and I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah, I know. I about lost it there.
I have such a soft spot for Braden Coburn, and it was just like, oh boy. And he didn't play. So he's going to, we got to figure that out. Somebody's got to know who's like, somebody has to know.
And then when McDonough got the cup, and then when Shattenkirk got the cup, like
I did not see Shattenkirk get the cup.
Oh, because so great.
Let me, y'all, I am so done. I am so happy to be done with this damn app. This is the worst app. If y'all have watched this on the NBC, it's bad. It's just a bad app. It crashes constantly. It freezes. It goes to commercial for no reason. It's just not good. Literally, it's the NBC Sports app. And at the last, very fitting, Tampa Bay Lightning player I saw hoist the cup was Andre Palat.
And then it
cut.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get to see Shattenkirk. I was, you know, but I got to see Palat.
Yeah.
But,
I'm sure you can find it online too, but amazing.
He was another guy that went wild.
Palat, I know.
Shattenkirk.
Yeah. They were all going nuts.
I don't blame him. He's been in this league a long time. I think he's like 31 years old.
Well, he played with the Blues for forever.
Yeah.
He left the Blues and he went, I believe, to Washington for a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he left there. And the next year, Washington won the cup. And then he went to the Rangers and then the Blues won the cup. And there are some years in there, but he like kind of just missed it every year. And so it's really like there are a lot of like journeymen on
I think Luke Shen is another near miss a few times or something.
And his brother won it last year on the Blues, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like there are a lot of near misses on this team, you know, this team.
Coburn
so it was really, yeah.
It was a member of the Philadelphia Flyers when they lost the Blackhawks. So yeah.
It's very special. And Pat Maroon repeating just brilliant, like just brilliant. So I want to kind of go over some things, celebrations. They're doing a championship boat parade tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the city of Tampa Riverwalk in Hillsborough River. Fans are encouraged to safely gather along the Riverwalk, exercising proper social distance guidelines. Hello 2020, including the wearing of face coverings. So if you want to cheer them on, that sounds like it's kind of fun. Like, you know, like instead of a street party, it's a boat party, which is kind of very Tampa. I think it's kind of
so Tampa. And thank you to Alex Killorn that has now gotten in everybody's head that all we do is ride around on jet skis.
I know. I really hope he comes out with like a Mac Daddy pimped out jet ski that he's on. And it's just like Doc Talk with Killer and like all that stuff. That would be really fun.
He said the jet skis are fired up.
He's ready to go. And then there's a Stanley Cup champion celebration at 7:30 tomorrow night at Raymond James Stadium. Free parking beginning at 5:30. Doors to the stadium open at 6:30. You have to have a ticket for this event because they're setting up people in pods of seating to have specific social distancing. And so tickets are going on sale at Ticketmaster.com at 1 o'clock. Today, Tuesday, we're recording this at 12:30. It's probably going to go up right about 1 o'clock. So, there's a link on the Lightning website. I'll try to include it in this podcast post as well. But, and ticket delivery will be mobile only. and social distancing guidelines at Raymond James Stadium will be in effect. So please follow them. We don't need an outbreak of COVID because we won the Stanley Cup, people.
As somebody who recovered from COVID-19, thank God she recovered, and her friend, we are begging you to please be careful. Please be safe. We know things got wild, and that's, I heard everything was great. And then people went wild, and that's expected. You kind of lose your brain a little. You lose, you know, just please, guys, please, please, please. CT will tell you it was not fun.
No, it
was not. And I was very, very concerned about her.
But I'm okay.
But you're okay.
I'm okay. But it was not a fun 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say it was three plus weeks of not fun. So.
And literally, I got it the day of the first exhibition game. Like, I mean, let's just talk about that for a minute. Because the first day I felt sick, I was home. I took the day off and I called my doctor and I was like, well, at least I get to watch the exhibition game without any interruptions. And then I got tested a day later.
Yeah.
So just saying.
Just saying, be careful out there.
I've basically been in a bubble too this whole time. Just saying.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
But yeah, so we are super excited, you know, for everybody in the organization. I went back and I saw the call from Dave Mishkin.
Oh,
amazing, Dave. Phil was just like, wow.
Wow.
Like, it was amazing. So congratulations to all our broadcasting friends out there who we're broadcasting from Tampa, a game in Edmonton. Like,
it was, you know,
great job, man. Like, and Steve Versnick, our buddy, our friend, you know, trying to keep everybody on the air.
Yeah.
Congrats to you. Just it takes a village. And the village,
it really does.
There wasn't a village in Edmonton. So, you know, the village that stayed back in Tampa Bay, all the PR guys, all the season ticket reps, like they're still answering questions from fans and season ticket members, the people at the stores, they're going to be busy. I know Dick's Sporting Goods opened last night at 11 o'clock to sell merchandise.
Wow.
I mean, I'm really happy the city of Tampa has something to celebrate in 2020.
Yeah.
You know,
and also, a big hat tip to, all the people that have that cover this team that were not in Edmonton. I had a little bit of back and forth with Brian Burns.
Yes, Brian. Yes.
Yeah. Who, honestly, I go back and read his articles on every single game. He brilliant. It's brilliant sports writing. Brian Burns did an incredible, he's such a good guy. He's such a nice guy. He's very talented, but my gosh, he absolutely just did a brilliant job through this whole thing. Eric Erlandson, Diana Nierhaus. I mean, all these people, you know, not being there is really hard. And, and to be, you know, everything is on Zoom. Everything is through a TV. You're not there. You're not getting that feel.
Yeah.
It was really hard for these guys. You know, Greg Linnelli did a wonderful job on all the, you know, pre and post game, along with Kaylee Chelios, who.
Yes, Kaylee.
You know,
like juggling being a new mom and everything.
Yeah, really, honestly, it was really quite an undertaking. I know Brian Breesman was here.
And Trevor was in Edmonton.
But Trevor was up. And well, he's Canadian, so. But I don't think it matters at that point. I think if you're part of, you know, the medical staff or whatever, you're going to get some kind of clearance.
Yeah.
I guess, I would think.
But,
you know, just really great job by everybody.
And shout out to Sonia Bryson.
Aww.
Just for being a great friend. And I think we might do like another recap show once all the celebrations are done. And we might have a special guest. Hoping. But also a big shout out to the people who are running the plaza for the watch parties and inside the arena for the watch parties, our buddy Greg Wolf, John Franzone, who I'm sure was involved in all of that, and all the ice crew, because they put the ice back down. So, I mean, there are just so many people to congratulate and to thank for all of their hard work to kind of make it feel as normal as possible.
Yeah.
Definitely unlike any other Stanley Cup ever given out. And just kind of saying this, you know, they won it in 2004 and then the season was locked out after.
How weird.
And they didn't raise the banner until, I don't think, 2005 or six. I'm not sure.
2006, because it wasn't a 2004.
Yeah. And then, you know, we'll have to wait and see when we're going to raise this banner. And, you know, kind of funny story here. When they raised the banner for the first Stanley Cup win, I was lucky enough to get a ticket for that game. So I got to see them raise the banner right in front of me. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Didn't get to see the Stanley Cup win, mm-hmm. but I saw them raise the banner. This time, wasn't able to be there for the Stanley Cup win, but I'll get to see the banner raised.
Right.
So I'm just like, one of these times I'll see them win the cup in person, maybe.
I know. I think everybody feels that way.
They'll just have to repeat this next year. They just have to repeat. That's all. Sorry, guys. You've won it once. Now you got to do it again so everybody can be there and watch it.
And we might, you know, it's almost October. It may just be a couple months.
Yeah, we still haven't heard yet. They're going to be doing the draft next week, but we still haven't heard yet on plans of when they're going to start the season next, or for this new next season, the coming 20, season. I had a memory 2021? Show up on. Yeah, I had a memory show up on my Facebook page of me getting my season tickets in 2013 and 14, like ready to go, and it was yesterday.
I know, it's wild.
So it's just wild. If we're gonna give out thank yous, we should thank everybody who's been listening to our ramblings and hanging in there with us and being our support group. We love doing the show for you guys. I know Dory and I enjoy it. We've been friends for a really long time. We've been doing the show for six years. Is that what it is? 6 years.
Six seasons.
So we've been right there with them. They started winning after we started doing this podcast. I'm just saying.
Yep.
I'm just saying. So we love having the opportunity to do this for you guys. I know we enjoy it. You know, it's not every day you get two girls talking about hockey, and I feel like we can hold our own. You know, this is definitely not a Puck Bunny girly podcast. We have our moments, but we're fans, and you know, we couldn't be happier for this team. So thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, we'll probably do another episode here recapping all of the celebrations and stuff in the next couple of days. So make sure you're subscribing to our podcast anywhere you listen, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all of that. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode, and when we come back next season, whenever that's going to be. Also, we would love for you to leave us a 5-star rating and a review so that other Lightning fans and hockey enthusiasts can find us and join our dysfunctional, loving family who has a lot of anxiety but is sleeping a whole heck of a lot better now that the Tampa Bay Lightning are Stanley Cup champions. You can also find us at gamemisconduct.com if you want to go back and listen to any of our episodes, and on Facebook and Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Dory, you have anything before we go for today? Because my voice is about shot and I'm very dehydrated from all the sobbing I did. So I need to rehydrate and rest my voice. What about you? Anything you want to say?
Not really. I think you did, you know, summed it all up. It's going to take a few days, I think, to really kind of sink in.
Yeah.
I mean, to kind of just be able to like release.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we'll try and do like a wrap up.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get
Mike Poirier back on the phone. Maybe we can get Sonya Bryson.
Maybe we'll see what our favorite anthem singer is up to.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But again, we are so grateful that you've been joining us through this entire journey. I feel like we've played every game with them, and I'm sure you feel the same. Yeah. So, you know, Bolts Nation, Distant Thunder, they did it. They won the cup. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch you soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.